Welcome in, McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 7:01 a.m. Is it Thursday?
Today's Wednesday.
Wednesday, January 26th. Forgive me. I'm not exactly sure when on the calendar I'll begin to have a good understanding of what the actual day of the week it is, but we'll get there. We will get there at some point. Date night last night, Tuesday, I should know. Today, Wednesday. That should be an easy one, but not so easy. Not so easy for the Auburn Tigers last night. First game as the number one team in the nation, and whew, they struggle against Missouri last night, but they win. You get the W. And I guess the question would be, if you're an Auburn fan or you watch college basketball, are you more confident that that team on that performance last night found a way to win? Or are you on the other side of that and you look at it and just say, man, that's just not the number one team in the nation?
I would say that that was an immature performance, kind of like what we talked about yesterday. A team that didn't shoot the ball very well, didn't play with the same level of intensity, and as a result, almost got on the road. So I wouldn't lose too much sleep over it if I were an Auburn Tiger fan. That's a sleepy place to go, difficult road trip, not a real fun place to play, not against a very good team. A lot of reasons as to why they performed so poorly last night and shot so poorly throughout the course of the game.
6 of 28 from behind the three-point line. They shoot just 30% from the floor. Get to the free throw line 11 times. They're just able to really just kind of will themselves to a victory late. KD Johnson was big, brought some energy down the stretch, 17 points. Five of those came in the final 90 seconds. Had a three-point play with 129 left last night that was really big. Kind of sparked Auburn to be able to get that win. Kessler was nice, 13 points, 12 boards. And your best player, Bruce kind of said it after the game last night, first time Jabari Smith has really struggled. You know, 3 points in the first half. Game tied at 31 at the half. Auburn after being down double digits in the first half. And, you know, they still come back, find a way to win. They'll host Oklahoma Saturday at 1 on ESPN. This Big 12 SEC Challenge this weekend got a chance to be a lot of fun. Could be really good. But Smith only finishes with 5 points on 2 of 10 shooting. He did have 10 rebounds, so he affects the game still. But he had multiple guys go down in this game. He looked like he might be a little bit nicked up. Obviously, Wendell Green Jr., a little bit banged up as well. Looks like he collided knees. He exits the game, and you had to kind of find a way. And, you know, Missouri, the question, I guess, since we're going to take certain points in certain games and always ask how and why Quanzo Martin doesn't foul late there felt a little bit odd to me. To allow that to go down to the final shot, to where you know if it gets tipped around or sort of bobbled a little bit, time's going to expire. You're not going to have another opportunity. And so the strategy there late for me, a little bit questionable for Missouri.
Understandable. I didn't think that much of it. I was more kind of perplexed by the idea that Auburn shot so incredibly poorly. And we had talked last week, I mean, last couple of days, and really throughout the course of, gosh, probably the last 8 days or so, if Auburn's not shooting it, they're going to find another way to not just win, but win comfortably, especially against bad teams. And that wasn't the case last night. I felt like, Cole, and while I know that they defended quite well and did enough to win, most teams shooting at 30% clip are going to lose. But I'm trying to figure out, I just felt like their possessions lacked creativity. I felt like their shots selection wasn't terrible, but it felt, just didn't feel like the team that I'd seen in the second half on Saturday and throughout the course of the games, really the last few weeks. So a little bit troubled by what I saw last night. Doesn't mean that I think that they're now going to have an early exit from the tournament. I'm not going that far. But last night was a little bit of a reminder that this team is in some pretty dang thin air. And if that thin air does, for whatever reason, if another team's used to playing in that type of pressure, that type of experience, I think they might be able to handle it a little better. So hopefully they'll handle it better on Saturday when they get another opportunity.
Yeah, we'll spend a little more time on that one last night. Alabama drops just a weird one again last night, 82-76 at Georgia. The Crimson Tide go down. They shot 9-34 from the three-point line. And I think that was really the difference. And this Georgia team has, I don't know what they're great at. I don't think they have a lot of guys that would start on a lot of other teams in the SEC. So they don't have individuals that really just, I would say, consistently take over games. But they're good at getting fouled. I mean, it's a weird thing to say that somebody might be best at or somebody might be really good at, but that's kind of what Georgia does. And 24-30 from the free throw line was massive for the Bulldogs last night. Alabama shoots 13-20 and 44% from the field, but it's one of those games that you looked up at late and kind of wondered how is the score this? Alabama had 4-point lead at halftime, felt like it was going the direction that you expected it to go. And then some of those fouls and free throws down the stretch just put Alabama in a bad spot. And Nate Oates just not real happy with how his team is reacting right now, not real happy with how his team is performing and giving effort.
Disappointing loss, obviously, with Georgia being winless in the SEC. And we continue to have these issues of playing up and down the level of our competition. Turnovers were a major problem. The biggest problem is just our energy, our effort. As a head coach, stuff comes back on me. I got to figure out how to put the right guys on the floor that care about their teammates and going to play hard for them. And I've obviously not done a great job figuring out how to do that so far this year.
So Tom Hart will be with us at 9 a.m. He was on the call for this game last night. And I think that probably is going to be the biggest question moving forward is, who's best suited to be in the lineup for Nate Oates at different points in time? Maybe at all. Because if there was one thing about, yes, that team last year shot the ball extremely well, but the effort was relentless. And I think we're seeing a direct contrast with some teams in college basketball where maybe you ask yourself the question, where's the leadership coming from? Because you think about some of the guys on that Alabama team last year, you had legit veterans, had been around the game for a while, played a lot of college basketball. And I think there are some other teams that we thought were going to be great, other teams that have been great at times this year, and then have maybe fallen off, and they don't have those veterans that they either need or did have or once had. And you just wonder with kind of where college sports is right now, where are you going to continue to be able to get that from? And that might be a real issue for Nate Oates right now. But he's not going to give up on this basketball team.
Nor should he. And if you look at what they played, I mean, their schedule, I mean, has been absolutely ridiculous. I'm not making excuses. Last night's performance was embarrassing. And it is what it is, all right? But when you look at the schedule, Alabama right now, their opponent win percentage as of yesterday morning prior to the game against Georgia was 75%. That was the number one in the country by 0.6%. Excuse me, by 6%, I guess. Because it was the next highest was 69. So when you're playing against teams that have an opponent, and granted, wins against a game against Gonzaga, a game against Auburn, a game against Houston, those are obviously going to inflate what you have as far as your opponent win loss percentage. 75%, man, that's ungodly. I've never seen anything like that. Number two team in the country right now, Oklahoma State, at 69%. So last night's game actually dropped it down quite a bit. Now it's down to 71.6%. That's how bad Georgia is, to keep things in perspective. So the opponent win percentage dropped significantly after last night, but Alabama still a decided advantage in that category against anyone else in the country. So I wouldn't be losing a ton of sleep. I think this team is calloused. But the problem is they're streaky and they can't shoot real consistently. And I don't think they're very tough. Last year you had Herb Jones, and Herb Jones is going to go out there and he was going to will his way to a victory. I don't care if it required ridiculous hustle plays. I don't care if it required great defense. I don't care if it required making your free throws down the stretch. I mean, this team just doesn't do any of the little things, man. You're watching the game against LSU. It's like, how many different ways can we give this away? You know what I mean? It's frustrating. Especially after watching last year's team that did all the little things, just grinded their way to victory. This team feels far more talented, but they have far less leadership. And that, I think, is part of the reason why they're in the position that they're in right now.
All right, so we will talk more Alabama hoops, more SEC hoops, a couple big games nationally last night in college basketball. Chris Long coming up at 8:30 today. We'll talk NFL with him, obviously getting set for Championship Sunday, one of the best days on the sports calendar. That comes up this weekend. We'll dive into those. It begs the question, though, what's next with a lot in the NFL right now? There seems to be a lot of question marks with who, what, where, when, why, and how in a lot of different areas. We'll dive into some of those, but If you're wondering what's next for you as far as your next vehicle, well, it's Royal Automotive. No matter where life takes you this upcoming year, for every ride, there's Royal. My friends at Royal Automotive in Vestavia, they have you covered with new cars, trucks, and SUVs. They come in every single day. And when they say every ride, they mean it. Your old car included. You can upgrade today. Trade your vehicle in for top dollar. Four dealerships on one lot means whatever you want to drive, they've got it. Whatever else you can find, the 2022 GMC Sierra and Yukon, Buick Enclave, Volkswagen Atlas, Volvo XC90, all in one spot. Not to mention Royal selection of hundreds of pre-owned models. Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, Royal Automotive pre-owned and Volvo cars of Vestavia Hills. Have your next car, truck, or SUV. You can reserve a new model in under an hour. It's that fast. They'll even deliver your ride right to your new driveway. You already know where to find Royal. Corner of I-65, Highway 31 in Vestavia, or online at royalautomotive.net. For every ride, there's Royal. What's next in the NFL? It'll be a lot of change. We begin to discuss it next on McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Nailbiter in Lexington last night as Kentucky takes out Mississippi State 82-74. They go to overtime. Iverson Molinar, 30 points, career high for the Bulldogs, but not enough to overcome Oscar Tshiebwe's 21-22 last night. 22 boards. Fifth game with 20 rebounds this year. State has lost 16-17 to the Cats, and Kentucky holds on to get that win. They've lost 16 straight against unranked opponents. So a little bit of anxiety there for Coach Cal and the Kentucky Wildcats as they have to go to overtime against unranked Mississippi State. Anxiety an issue for you? Maybe an issue for your pet? Well, your CBD store can help. They have options that can calm things down for you. They also have issues for anxiety and arthritis in your pet. Well, they've helped me with arthritis. They've helped the biggest dog in our household, Lola, with arthritis as well. She was having trouble getting up and down the stairs, about a week's regimen of CBD, and she was almost back to normal thanks to your CBD store. They also offer the Trim by SunMed, revolutionary new line of products in weight loss sciences that features THCV, compound in hemp known to naturally suppress your appetite. So if you're going to sleep better, wake up feeling better, get the day started in a better manner. Anxiety, arthritis, an issue for you or your pet, your CBD store has answers. Largest brick and mortar CBD retailer in the world, and they're here to help you. Check out one of their four locations today. Highway 280 by Bailey Brothers, 150 by the Cajun Cleaver, Trussell just off 459, and now downtown in Five Points. Your CBD store, where good health hits home. So we asked the question as we turn the page and look towards the NFL with massive games coming up this weekend. What's next? In a lot of different instances, we look at the head coaches, obviously some of the player. There's some big players that are. No, it's what's next, Damian. It's not who's next. I'm not mad at anyone. You don't have to get that.
My apologies.
What's next for the NFL and a lot of, it's okay.
I thought
it
was coming.
It's all right. I appreciate the effort there.
It's all good.
What is this?
This is
what?
I don't know what this is.
This is the Goldberg music that Damian likes to play. This when I get angry and get
gotcha. Yeah.
But he's asked who's next.
I didn't watch WCW. Thing. Sorry,
you're a WWE guy.
It's WCW. It's WCW. Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry. But when I did watch fake fighting, I
don't be disrespectful. Come on, just let's not let's don't what? Be disrespectful. Don't be disrespectful. But during this time, it was real.
As long as you acknowledge it, there's nothing wrong.
These chair shots
I have
are real.
No problem. I have no problem with it. It's highly entertaining.
Yeah.
It's an entertainment mechanism.
That is true.
Which is exactly, as long as you know what it is, we're good.
Fake.
It's real.
Maybe nowadays. Yeah. Nowadays, but, you know, in Goldberg's prime.
Oh, they were really fighting?
Yeah, for sure.
Gotcha, that's news.
Come on now.
Nonetheless, we don't need a who's next right now. We want to ask what's next in the NFL because there are, of course, some big names that have decisions to make whether or not they're even going to play anymore. And then another massive coaching position opens up yesterday. Sean Payton decides he's going to step away from the New Orleans Saints. He's been the head coach since 2006. He was the second longest tenured head coach in the National Football League. And there are a couple of reasons that I think you could look at, and maybe this makes sense. I'll start with this. Saints going to be $69.4 million over the cap in 2022.
That helps. Oof.
That is the worst cap situation in the NFL heading into this offseason by a long shot. Next closest would be Green Bay, who is, as of now, scheduled to be $44.8 million over the cap in 2022. So cap concerns, obviously, the quarterback situation, And if you listen to Sean Payton in that press conference yesterday, you know, there are some things about just really that felt like they were COVID related that seemed to be frustrating to him. Just how you're able to be around the team, how you have to manage a facility. I mean, even discussing the media and sort of their role in how that has sort of changed his opinion of, I guess, how the day-to-day operations work within the NFL.
But I do appreciate your jobs, and I recognize, especially in the last 2 years, how difficult those have been. You know, people don't understand when all of a sudden you practice inside, and with the COVID restrictions, the relationships that many of you have with our players, with our, it's hard to do those jobs effectively as you might like. I mean, when's the last time you've been able to go into a locker room after a game? And we kind of miss that, really. I do, honestly, in going into the presser after a game and looking at a laptop. And so I appreciate every one of you. I think, and I've worked in a lot of places. I've been in New York. I've been in Philadelphia. I've been in Dallas. Those are big media markets. But I appreciate the relationships and the manner in which you guys have done your jobs. And I mean that. And probably knowing what I knew now, I probably handled my first 5, 6, 7 years differently relative to the media where, you know, where you come in and you just don't know enough yet. But thank you. And again, I'm going to see many of you for years to come.
So Sean Payton, I took that, Greg, it's not so much the context of what he said referencing the media there, but to me, that on top of the cap situation, and obviously the quarterback situation is one I know that he's probably not thrilled with, especially when you have Drew Brees as long as he did. But then to look at just how everything's managed and some of the protocols in place, where I think that was a big part of pushing him to say, you know what, I've had enough. I can step down. I've accomplished plenty. Don't need to do this anymore.
Well, I think we are naive if you tell me that he is stepping away because of anything other than the fact that his roster is going to be awful. Like, let's just be honest. If they had a chance to win a Super Bowl this year, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Like, let's just call it what it is. All right. He thinks that he can get a much cozier landing spot if he takes a year off, allows Mike McCarthy to implode, and then maybe he steps over in Dallas and takes over that gig. I don't know how it's going to work out. I really don't. I'm not sure it matters. All I know is that the reason why he's leaving is because it's a disastrous salary cap situation. You don't have a franchise quarterback, and yet you've overpaid for a guy like Taysom Hill, who's a jack of all trades, but not really that great elite at any of them. The guy's a great athlete, but he's not a franchise quarterback. You think Jameis Winston all of a sudden is going to be cured of his interceptionitis? Probably not. I think Michael Thomas, is he all of a sudden going to come back into the fold after being really a disaster the last couple of years? Probably not. Defensively, you got some decent players for sure. And there's pieces to like on the roster. There are. However, most of which have been overpaid. And as a result, they are in one of the worst contract situations in the NFL. Breeze was awful for the contract. Breeze was awful, excuse me, for the cap for a while. But people still wanted to play there, so they take a slight discount to play for Breeze. Play with Breeze, because he's going to get your numbers. So I think it's a troubling situation, but this has everything to do with the current state of what the New Orleans Saints are, not with, oh, well, I'm just tired and it's just been a long run. And all this. No, please. You built a massive canyon that now some other coach is going to be so fortunate to have to climb out of, and he's probably going to go 3-14 the next 2 years as a result, and you wouldn't have any interest in sticking around for that.
So as we begin to spin towards the 2022 NFL draft, and you and I are going to be down in Mobile for most of next week at the Senior Bowl, beginning to get prepared for the NFL draft that's coming up, the Saints will have the 18th selection. Would you believe me if I told you, or I'll just throw this out there, when's the last time you think the Saints drafted a quarterback in the first round?
First round?
First round. Got lucky with Breeze. I mean, I don't want to say lucky. I mean, you knew what you were getting, but obviously got a guy in that you didn't draft that
right.
was a quarterback for a long time, faced the franchise for a while. Last time Saints drafted a quarterback in the first round.
I'm going to say Aaron Brooks.
Was he a first round pick?
I don't know.
That was Archie Manning's second overall in 1971.
That was the last time, huh?
Last time Saints went QB in first round. So do they look to go that direction? Is that the answer for this year's NFL draft selection early on for the Saints? In 18, that's not a super comfortable spot when you think that there may be a couple off the board in the top 15, top 12, and then your next quarterback is probably not going to be ready to be drafted until maybe later in the first round. So you're either going to stretch or hope somebody falls. And usually quarterbacks falling does not happen very often in this league. So,
well, this draft, all the quarterbacks are indecipherable. So if your number one guy ends up being there at 18, I'm not sure any of us would be surprised. I mean, this is probably the worst quarterback draft of our lifetime. It's up there at least. There's not a single guy without question marks. It doesn't mean they won't all be great. Doesn't mean they won't all be decent. I don't know. I mean, all I know is that they all enter the league with significant question marks. So
seems to be less certain on the upper tier guys.
100%. So we'll see. I mean, I hope that the Saints can find a guy, because if you can get a true rookie quarterback, that's how you build a championship roster. If you can get a rookie quarterback that can play beyond his contract, because rookie quarterbacks are so cheap now. I mean, they are so cheap. Because you're basically going to have a top tier guy. Look at Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is top tier guy in the league right now. And he's making $6 million this year.
Yeah. Comparatively to, we just talked yesterday about Rodgers making 33 and 27.
Or Dak making 41.
Yeah. It's just, it's or Mahomes and his, you know, $250 million deal that he's got. So yes, comparatively, it's not even close. And then even comparatively to what the tail end of the mega, first overall pick drafts were with, Stafford and Bradford and those guys, what they were getting, which was 55, 60 guaranteed to be the number one overall selection. I mean, even compared to that, it's a bargain with what you're getting with Justin Herbert,
pennies on the dollar,
Joe Burrow, with guys like that. So you mentioned, though, and I'll roll this into the Dallas Cowboys, that Mike McCarthy potentially slipping up and Sean Payton taking a year off. Some people say he'd go to TV and that's what he wants to do. And with some of the shuffling that's going to happen with the Amazon deal, maybe he would have a fit to be able to roll in. I heard a couple different people yesterday throwing out Fox, and I just kept thinking to myself, how many people can Fox hire to call football games? I mean, there's only so many games. I mean, I just feel like every person that retires, that seems to be the fit. I don't always understand it, but from an analyst perspective, especially, but. I'll ask you this question as it pertains to Dallas, because I think what's next for them is very intriguing as well, as we stay on the NFL here at 7:29 a.m. Wednesday, January 26th on Jocks 94.5. Listen online, jocksfm.com, McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Is this roster too good for Mike McCarthy to screw it up? What would have to happen for him to legitimately be replaced? And I know that the conversations were there this year, and some folks thought that it actually may happen, even though you're talking about a team that finished 12-5, won the NFC East. But I kind of look at it, G-Mac, as the roster might just be too good for McCarthy to tank this thing. Now, Jerry Jones can make a move no matter what. He can make a move on an undefeated head coach if he wants to. We've seen him take very successful head coaches and either not to be able to agree on something or potentially just sort of push them out.
Right.
We know that can happen. But are they really in a position where McCarthy could push this thing to where he deserved to be fired or would just flat out be removed? And maybe if Sean Payton is there waiting, that's the only reason that Jerry Jones would need.
I just don't get the sense that Mike McCarthy's going anywhere. Now, would Jerry Jones
not now,
do
but
it?
Like no, in your
a year from
in
now.
Your scenario that you brought up where
see, like,
I have one more year and Sean Payton takes a year off and then he's right there ready to pounce and say, okay, roster should still be in pretty good shape. We can go make a push and get this thing done.
See, I don't see it that way. I've been around Jones and the Jones family for a really long time. And I love Jerry and I feel like he is a great, great owner, a great marketer, And obviously the Cowboys are top of the line entertainment and conversation all the time. The problem is Jerry has a enormous ego.
No.
Yes. Believe it or not, I know you're shocked to hear that. Enormous ego. Which is fine, but he's not going to bring in a coach that's going to be credited with taking a team to the top. Because if Sean Payton goes in, Cowboys win the Super Bowl, guess who's getting credit for that?
Sean Payton's going to get a lot of it.
Exactly. So I don't think Jerry...
Why doesn't he have you playing quarterback? Because the quarterback that wins it, no matter who it is probably going to get a lot of credit too, especially if it's a guy like Dak who's viewed as a franchise quarterback in the league.
Because it's he's the one that drafted Dak in the fourth round and decided to take a chance on him. Like, he's getting credit for that. He's the one that is putting together the roster. He's the one that's all this stuff, and he's the one that's getting credit. And now he looks like he's being let down by his coach. So he's, I don't want to say he's a martyr, but he kind of is a little bit. Like, he is not going to bring in a coach that's potentially bigger than him, that would potentially overshadow him.
Okay.
He did that once with Bill Parcells. He didn't like it. Bill Parcells was sent packing in some ways, forced him out a little bit. In comes Wade Phillips, nicest guy in the world, perfectly happy taking a backseat to Jerry. Who took over after Wade Phillips? It'd be Jason Garrett, kept him forever. Jason was a really good play caller, solid play caller, but not necessarily a super dynamic personality and all this other stuff. So why? Because he took a backseat to Jerry. And Jerry wants to be the first guy that we hear from, the first guy that basically paints the picture and all this other stuff about the Dallas Cowboys. And that's coming from a Cowboys fan and following them for a long time. I know how this dynamic works. And I just can't envision a scenario in which, think about this, Dave Campo was head coach of the Cowboys. All right? Dave Campo. Okay? Like, we're not talking about a bunch of stars with part the exception of, the way of Parcells.
I haven't thought about it in the way you stated it, but there are instances, if you go back and you really begin to think about starting probably when Jimmy Johnson came in and then how it's been managed since. There's a lot of what you said that makes a lot of sense there. Yeah, so,
because Jimmy got all the credit for the Super Bowl, putting it all together, and that ticked Jerry off no end. And he said, never again, basically.
And then you bring in Barry Switzer and he gets one, and you know, there you go. But you think about potential for this roster. What's next for Dallas? Notable Cowboys, it could be free agents. Dalton Schultz, Michael Gallup, Vander Esch, Randy Gregory, Connor Williams, all guys whose deals are going to have to be managed. Projected to be 17.7 over the cap. They're going to have to restructure some deals. They're going to have to move some money just to get under the cap. And obviously the core, though, is going to be back. The guys who, you know, Dak, Diggs, and the majority of that offensive line. Obviously, when you look at Amari Cooper, even though he was a little bit nicked up for certain parts of the season, should be back. I don't really know what to make of Ezekiel Elliott right now. There are a lot of people that think that, you know, that tank might be really close to empty. I think he still has some life left if they can find a way to build some things.
As soon as the bank account got full, tank got empty.
Oh, okay.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Nice
sliding scale works there a little bit in times. So it's sometimes way that it goes. But just kind of interesting to look ahead, because that's the team that's going to get a lot of focus and a lot of discussion as far as what they are, what they're doing, and put together a heck of a season, but just obviously you didn't get as far in the postseason as Cowboy fans are going to want. 800-239-9569. You want to join us on the Bud Light Hotline, talking what's next in the NFL right now. We will talk a little bit of college football and some college basketball later in the show. Stay in the NFL next hour. Chris Long going to be with us, talk NFL playoffs, talk Championship Sunday. That's at 8:30. Tom Hart will be with us at 9 o'clock as well. He was on the call for Alabama-Georgia last night. Get his thoughts on that one as to exactly what happened with the Crimson Tide. Nelson is in Birmingham, wants to talk NFL and what might be next. Welcome in, Nelson.
Hey, I just got a question for, I guess it's McElroy, who made the comment about the Saints.
Yes.
Why would Jameis not be a franchise quarterback, considering the numbers that he had this year and all the hard work he did, and especially with him being a hometown boy? I just want to know why we don't try to promote him.
Because he throws too many interceptions, bud. Like, it's as simple as that.
How many did he throw this year?
I don't care. The last time he started 16 games, he threw 20 interceptions.
That's not how you frame
30 interceptions, however.
But that's not how you frame.
So you want him as a franchise quarterback on your team?
Can I finish my statement?
I would just answer that's that not, question.
That's not how you phrased it. You said if he would ever work to overcome the interceptions. And now he went from a season where he threw a lot of interceptions, and this year he had 3 interceptions.
And how many starts?
He played in 7 games, 14 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Yeah, it's much better, much far improved. But he also he can go out there and throw 4 in a game pretty quickly.
You made it about you made it about stats.
I'm saying he loses football games. I'm saying he loses football games. It's as simple as that.
What was his record this year? What was his record?
I don't care. What was his record in Tampa Bay and what'd they do the year after he left?
Oh man.
Does that matter?
Are you talking about one of the worst wide receiving corps.
Really? With Mike Evans and Godwin? Those were bad receivers. O.J. Howard? Tell me.
Only thing I'm saying is...
No, go ahead and answer that question. It was the worst receiver corps. Mike Evans, all pro. Godwin, all pro.
This is your show. I'm not going
to... I just want you... No, please answer the question. If it's one of the worst receiver corps, explain to me how. It's part of the reason why... Tom Brady chose that place because they had such an incredible star-studded cast that surrounded Jameis, and he realized, man, if we could just eliminate some of the dumb mistakes that Jameis made, we would have a chance to potentially win a lot of games.
Listen to what you're saying. Listen to what you're saying to our local kids that listen to this, that watch this local kid. You prefaced it with dumb.
He makes dumb decisions.
You prefaced it with dumb decisions when a guy, and you said, work. You said if he would ever work to overcome some of the interceptions. And then he
is he a professional quarterback? Are we assessing him like we need to treat him with propaganda here in Birmingham because he's from the area? Is he from the area we got to treat as if he doesn't have flaws?
No, sir. You said it.
I don't plan on covering up his flaws. Jameis Winston has proven to be a flawed player to this point of his career. He has a ton of talent, a ton of game, won a Heisman Trophy, a celebrated college quarterback. And I think if there were an opportunity down the road to potentially have a chance to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, he could do that. I'm just saying, as of right now, I'm not going to attach my legacy as a head coach in Sean Payton. I'm not going to attach my legacy to Jameis Winston.
Will you let me at least finish before you cut me off?
I want you to give me a point.
No. What you said was if he would ever work to overcome the interceptions. And he went from 30 interceptions to 3.
Are we supposed to forget that the 30 never happened? I'm not saying that he didn't have a better year this year. He did. I'm not denying that. All I'm saying is that if I'm Sean Payton and I have $64 million over the cap and I have Jameis Winston as my starting quarterback, it doesn't feel like a real cutsy situation. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I would just give you two people who are Hall of Famers, Peyton Manning and Brett Favre.
Yes.
And I want you to talk about their interceptions, which
Brett Favre has one Super Bowl. Brett Favre has one Super Bowl. And by the way, has countless others. And I have never celebrated Brett Favre. Brett Favre single-handedly gave Drew Brees his only Super Bowl by throwing an idiotic interception for the Minnesota Vikings. It was the worst interception in the history of playoff football.
Aren't they Hall of Famers?
Yes, they are Hall of Famers.
Okay, let's talk about Peyton Manning's interceptions.
Let's talk about Peyton Manning's touchdowns, wins. How about his wins? Do we want to talk about his wins, potentially? Are wins a factor?
The only thing I'm saying is, for the kids that listen to this show, when a national correspondent like you are, I've watched you on many games, you're a great correspondent. A lot of people follow what you say. And this morning you said if he could ever overcome his interceptions. And I think for a guy to come out and start for the Saints this year who ends the season on a season-ending injury and he only has 3 interceptions, thank you, my hometown show, for being in support of me. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
So we're supposed to, because he's from Birmingham, we're supposed to overlook the flaws in his game. I just want to make sure I'm getting this correct. Because there's kids listening that look up to him. That's fine. I want you to look up to him. That's great. He went pro. He was number 1 overall draft pick. There's a ton to celebrate in Jameis Winston's career. What was not worth celebrating at this point is what he's done in the NFL, because it has not been very good. Just being honest, there's a reason why he's on his second team. There's a reason why they said, hey, don't let the door hit you on your way out. We're going to bring in somebody that can get us over the top. It's no disrespect to Jameis. It's just he loses games.
He played in 7 games this year. He threw 161 passes, 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
It's great.
He did have a second worst completion percentage in his career in a season. It's 59%, 1,170 yards. I think he was 4-1 as a starter. I'd have to go back and double check that. I'm not 100% exactly what Jameis was as a starting quarterback this particular season. 2 years ago, 30 interceptions. And like the Manning thing, I'm not
3 years ago.
I'm not 100% sure on the Manning thing. Like, I mean, if it's the first year, like 28 picks, but I mean, that was Manning's first year. You know, the 30 picks with Jameis came in year 6, and Manning, I mean, he had double digit interceptions most every year of his career, but it wasn't really approaching 30. But he also threw a ton of passes, and he was also over 60% every year. I mean, he's over 65% a lot of years, most years, actually. So, I mean,
how many wins? As a quarterback, you're defined by wins and losses. It's as simple as that.
Fair amount. Hastings is in Birmingham. Would like to talk Saints. Welcome into the Bud Light Hotline, Hastings.
Yeah, hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about the Saints real quick. And, you know, I understand each caller has their own opinion, and I didn't think you were taking shots at Jameson. I think if you actually watch the NFL over the past 5 years, you understand he's got terrible decision making.
Terrible.
He's got a loose arm. He airs balls. He makes poor decisions into double and triple coverage.
Misses a ton of throws.
One of the things that I looked at was he was talking about how great the 14-3 touchdown to interception ratio, but did you guys see the teams that he was playing? He was playing Green Bay, which at the time was absolutely reeling after the Aaron Rodgers debacle, Carolina, who's one of the worst teams in the league, New England, who at the time was not near what their defense was capable of or what they saw on the back end when you had J.C. Jackson and some of those dogs up front like Christian Barmore and Van Noy really attacking the quarterback. You had Washington, who is, you know, at best mediocre on defense, and this is after Chase Young got hurt. Then you had Seattle, and Seattle's one of the worst teams in the league. And then against Tampa Bay, I believe he got hurt. But throughout those games, he really only had a couple games against the Giants, Washington, and Seattle where he threw for over 200 yards. And so when you look at the Jameson Williams situation, or the Jameis Winston situation, probably not as good as the Jameson Williams situation, by the way, but the Jameis Winston situation, I think you've got to put together his entirety of this body of work.
Correct.
And understand that he just doesn't make great decisions.
No.
And it's not a knock at Jameis, but it is a knock at his decision-making and his capabilities to go out there, be a leader, and win games. So with you guys on that one, I don't think you guys were trying to call anybody out.
No, it's not personal. I don't trust him. And if I'm a head coach in the NFL,
for the call, Hastings.
Appreciate Hastings. I don't trust him. If I'm a head coach in the NFL, he's what you call a coach killer. I mean, that's the worst thing you can be is a coach killer, because right now you don't trust him, man. He's going to make bad mistakes, and that's okay. As long as you can get past that, Brett Favre threw a ton of interceptions, which is why he only has one Super Bowl. Guy has as much talent as anybody that's ever played the game. One Super Bowl. Why? Made horrible decisions. Ultimately, it's about winning Super Bowls.
We see you on hold. We will get to you on the other side. We have to get to a break. Jameis Winston, franchise quarterback. Do you want it? Yes, no. We'll discuss it right after this on McElroy and Kubik in the morning. All right, we move along right here on McElroy and Kubik in the morning, 7:51 a.m., Wednesday, January 26th.
Crocker Moving Service, a local company owned by an Iraq War veteran, Eric Crocker. Crocker believes in hiring movers you can trust. Believe full background checks and drug tests on every single employee. These are good guys. You can trust them in your home. Whether you need your whole home packed up and moved, your company headquarters moved across the country, or you just want them to come rearrange your living room, these guys have you covered. They also do deliveries for furniture that you personally need to get to your house. Call them online today for a free quote. The website is CrockerMovingServices.com. That's CrockerMovingServices.com. Support your veterans by choosing Crocker Moving Services for your next move.
Chris is in Tuscaloosa. Would like to talk Saints, having a conversation about the NFL, what's next in a lot of different instances, turned into not only Sean Payton exiting, but Jameis Winston potentially being a franchise quarterback. Chris, welcome in on the Bud Light Hotline.
Hey, guys, appreciate it. So I'm a longtime Buccaneers fan, going back to the 90s. And when we drafted Jameis, immediately I was nervous because he was riding that high from winning the Heisman, winning the national championship, and I knew they were going to stick with him for a long time. I had to endure 5 grueling years of watching this man set this team back. And everybody hangs their hat on him with the 5,000-yard season. But you're going to get 5,000 yards when you sling the rock 600 times. That's the law of averages. You're going to get more numbers the more times you attempt completion. The 30 interceptions, but he also had 12 fumbles that year. 42 turnovers by himself alone. That's 42 drives killed because of his decision-making. And, Greg, you hit the nail on the head. The ultimate goal and the ultimate hat that you hang for a quarterback is wins and Super Bowls.
Can you win a Super Bowl? Can you win a Super Bowl?
No, with Jameis Winston, I said this the whole time we had the guy. I said, well, he is not a Super Bowl champion. And if you listen,
but it's because the receiver core was awful, I thought. Well, I thought it was the receiver core that was holding him back.
Listen.
That's what I was told.
The entire time he was there, you look at documentaries, Hard Knocks, anything, read any article, the entire time he was there, the entire vibe was, the guy is not mature. He did not develop because he chose not to develop. You could have had Tom Brady in there for 3 years with that guy, and he still would have been the same quarterback that he was in 2016. He is not going to win you a Super Bowl unless he wakes up and the good Lord himself helps him out in a dramatic way. He's not going to take any team anywhere. If I'm a Saints fan, I want that man gone like yesterday. Get what you can for him. Free up cap space. Start going in a different direction, because I watched it at Tampa Bay and it made me want to gouge my eyes out. Every time you would have a game-winning drive or some momentum going, he would kill it. And that kills the locker room. No one trusts him, Cole. You hit that perfectly too. No one trusts this man to take the helm and steer that ship to win a Super Bowl. They will not do it. He survived 2 coaches and they're the reason they're gone is because of him.
Here's what I'll
say. They had faith in this man, but he will not develop and get them anywhere. He's had enough time to do it already. It's not going to happen.
I don't disagree with anything you said. I think he is.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
I think he's a walking turnover. It has been throughout the course of his career at times. I think he has loose ball security, and we could talk about the number stats. It's not even necessarily about that. If you have to go win 3 in a row in the playoffs, the ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl, right? Do you think you can do it with Jameis Winston? That's the ultimate question. If you don't think you can, then why is he your franchise quarterback? If he's the best available, fine. But you should still be in pursuit of trying to find someone that you think you can win the Super Bowl with. If you think you can win it with Jameis, great. And by the way, he's 28 years old. So I think he is what he is right now. Can things change? Can you have a revelation at 29? Abso-freaking-lutely, baby. But I'm saying right now, based on what we've seen in the first 6-7 years in the league, I'm not super confident. And I think it's part of the reason why Sean Payton's no longer in New Orleans at this point, because he does not have an obvious successor to Drew Brees, and he does not have an obvious franchise quarterback on his roster.
I will continue the NFL discussion on the other side. I want to begin to get into this weekend's games, which are absolutely massive. And we'll begin to break those down, as well as welcome in Chris Long for his first visit to the show coming up at 8:30 to help us break down the NFC Championship game, the AFC Championship game, and more right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.